Good afternoon. It's a great day for the Los Angeles Rams to be sitting here to announce Sean McVay as our next head coach for the franchise. And you know, we thought about what to do at press conference today, being bold, taking risks, and what we did think that, yes, it was risky to do a press conference on January Friday the 13th, but figured we'd try it out anyways. But looking ahead, when we sat down and looked at the qualities we wanted in the next head coach, when we talked to Stan Kroenke, Les, the players, the front office, we were able to talk to a wide range of opinion. There were three priorities that we looked at that were important for the next head coach in the Los Angeles Rams. The first, that they be a skilled communicator. They could reach today's players, they could get them to perform at their best, and that they could really set the tone for the organization. The second, an innovative tactician, somebody who could play with today's schemes, who could make sure that we always had a competitive edge on the field, and that we were the forefront of where the NFL is headed. And I think, finally, for us, it was an energetic presence to help bring this team to where it needs to be. We've been a young team on the field, but we wanted to make sure that the way we were represented as a team, as a culture, as a franchise, was with energy, and that we could come out and really play to our best, and you would see that carry over from the facility to the practice field, to the Coliseum, and eventually to the stadium at Hollywood Park, that you would always see that energetic presence in our football team. And I think when we did our homework, when we talked to a lot of mentors and people around the league, the perfect fit for this job was Sean McVay. And when we went into this process, you do your homework, you ask around, we talked to a lot of different people. You talked to John Gruden and Bill Polian and Tony Dungy. They all said, you need to come up with what you value most in the head coach. And it's really how we got to those three priorities. And we took those priorities and we started to ask. And the name that kept popping up over and over again was Sean McVay. And I think as we went through it, perhaps the most important validation to Sean's credentials, which you've all seen, is what people are saying about him in Washington. And when you listen to the players and to the coaches in the organization, the impact he has made on that football team, that community, and those players impressed us tremendously. And when he walked into the interview process, when he left, I remember Les standing up and he said, that's going to be a successful head coach. I'm buying stock in Sean McVay. And really from there, once after that first interview, we knew we had our guy. And it was great to go through the rest of the process to meet a number of terrific coaches, many of whom are becoming head coaches in the NFL right now. But we felt confident last Wednesday that once we met Sean, that he would be the perfect fit to lead the Los Angeles Rams. So with that, I give you the next head coach of the Los Angeles Rams, Sean McVay.
Very excited to be here as the head coach of the Los Angeles Rams. It's humbling, but excited to get going. First off, I'd like to start by thanking Mr. Kroenke. Getting a chance to be with him for the last couple days, get to know him, what he's about. You can feel the passion and the commitment that he has for bringing a championship caliber team to the city of Los Angeles. This is a guy that understands the game of football, knows what it takes to create a winning culture, and very excited about the opportunity to work for a great owner who is committed to bringing a championship to this city. Next, I'd like to thank Kevin Demoff, Les Snead, and Tony Pastores. They led a very detailed and thorough search. It was first class, and it was something that I really enjoyed the process of getting to know them over the last couple weeks, and great representation of this organization. Mr. Dan Snyder, Bruce Allen, Jay Gruden, and Scott McLuhan, and the entire Washington Redskins organization. I spent the last 7 years there and formed some of the most special relationships that I was able to develop there, and it was a great experience for me, relationships that I'll carry on with me as I continue my coaching journey here in L.A., and that opportunity was something that I'll always cherish. My parents, Tim and Cindy, are here, and my brother, Ryan. Couldn't ask for a better family. Great supporters. Just so thankful and appreciative of them. Love you guys very much and appreciate you guys flying out across the country from Atlanta to be here. And Bob and Lynn Lamont, Mark Schiefelbein, took a chance on me when I was 24 years old and have helped guide and shape a lot of the core beliefs that I have to get to this point. and very thankful for them. They're here as well also. You know, becoming a head coach is something that you always dream of when you get into the coaching profession. But one of the things that you realize and understand is that these opportunities never present themselves unless you're fortunate to be around great coaches and mentors to help guide you along the way. John Gruden is a guy that when I first got into the coaching profession, I finished playing at Miami of Ohio, and he hired me on his staff in Tampa, coming right out of college. What a great mentor he's been to me. He's a guy that taught me the foundation of what I know about this game, truly taught me to look at the game from a 22-man perspective. And you talk about a tireless and consistent and relentless work ethic. He is the standard, and he's something that you always strive to match. And what a great example for me as a young coach to be exposed to that right off the gate. And so, Coach Gruden, I'm forever thankful for what you've been to help get me to this point. Bruce Allen. Bruce Allen is a guy that helped both the opportunities that I got in Tampa and in Washington. He is the epitome of class, much like my grandfather John McVay, who had a bunch of success against that team in San Francisco, or with that team in San Francisco, where they were able to win 5 world championships. Bruce is that kind of guy. Class, knows how to deal with people, and he's been a great mentor and influence for me that I knew I could always go to for guidance and direction. Mike Shanahan hired me in Washington, gave me the first opportunity to be a position coach in this league. One of the things I learned from Coach Shanahan was being committed to a process and setting a standard of performance. And that commitment, that consistent messaging that he had to our players, to our coaching staff, day in and day out, always resonated with me. And I think it's a big reason why you see a coach like that achieve 2 world championships. And he's been great. And I'm forever indebted to you, Coach Shanahan. And Jay Gruden. Got a chance to first work with Jay in Tampa. And from the day that I met Jay, we were able to build and form a relationship that is very dear to me. And he has been a great influence on my coaching career. We had kept in touch. You know, when we went our separate ways after Tampa, got a chance to spend a year together in the United Football League down in Orlando, Florida, and got really close. He was the offensive coordinator. I was coaching the tight ends and running backs for him. And then when I got a chance to go to Washington, he stayed there, went to Cincinnati. We've kept in touch. And when he got an opportunity to be the head coach for the Redskins, gave me a chance to be his offensive coordinator. And those 3 years, being able to do that, what a great experience it's been for me. He helped guide and lead me along the way. And one of the things that really stood out about Jay that I thought is extremely special is watching the way that he empowered his assistants, the way that he was able to delegate, let his coaches coach, really demonstrated a confidence and a security that he had in himself as a leader. And watching how that created a sense of loyalty and accountability to both him as our leader and our organization is something that we hope to mimic and emulate here in LA. And lastly, our players in Washington. I've been very fortunate in the 7 years that I was in Washington to come across some great players. And that's why you get into this coaching profession, is to help players achieve their highest potential. And when you work with some of the players I was fortunate enough to work with, that's why you're presented with opportunities like this. And you guys know who you are. You're very special to me. A lot of great men that I came across, and I loved my time there. I loved the players that I came in contact with. And then our offensive coaching staff in Washington especially. Look at guys like Bill Callahan, Matt Cavanaugh, Randy Jordan, Wes Phillips, Ike Hilliard, Shane Waldron, and Kevin Carberry. Their tireless work ethic made it enjoyable to go to work and try to figure out a way that we could help our offense have success week in and week out. And I am much better coach for having been able to work with guys like that. And I thank you, and you guys are very special to me. Talking about our vision for the LA Rams, we're going to be a team that's built on character. We feel that true leadership is about building and developing relationships that are going to help us create a unified vision that's sustainable over time. Our character will be the foundation and it'll be the glue that holds us together as an organization. We're going to be committed to our process, and we're going to be committed to a standard of performance. And those things are going to be focused on daily improvement and daily excellence. And that's what's going to help guide us on our journey to try to achieve a world championship and bring it to this great city of Los Angeles. You know, going through this interview process, one of the things that made this job so enticing and you know, something that you want to be a part of this culture is a shared vision with the other leaders in this organization. Getting a chance to talk with Kevin, Les, Tony, learn about what do they want the Rams to look like. We shared a very similar philosophy, and you talk about what does a Ram look like? What do we want our tape to look like? All right, a Ram for us, we're going to be mentally and physically tough players that are smart and love to compete. And our tape is our resume, and we know that. But in order to be able to put out that product that our fans deserve, that we want to see, that's going to give us a chance to compete and win games week in and week out, we've got to be committed to that process and that standard of performance. And that's something that we will be doing. On offense and defense, what you can expect from us is we're going to be attacking on both sides of the football, but we're also going to be fundamentally sound. Our first priority is going to be to assemble a great coaching staff. And when we look at what makes up great coaches, we're looking for leaders, teachers, and motivators of men to help develop our players and help them reach their highest potential. That's what we feel makes a great coach, and that's what we're looking for LA Ram coaches. We're in the process right now of assembling that staff, but it's an exciting time to be an LA Ram, and we can't wait to go to work, roll our sleeves up, and figure out a way to consistently give this fan base and this great city of LA a winner and a team that they can be proud of week in and week out. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, Coach.
Hey. You want me to stay up here?
Okay. Yeah, Coach, I'm Jim Hill of KKL9 and CBS2 here in Los Angeles. Welcome.
Thank you.
You just got through hearing Kevin talk about how they felt about you. What made you feel like you were the perfect choice for the Rams, and how long did it take you to accept the offer once they presented it to you?
Well, that's a great question. You know, when you really look at it, I think kind of one of those things that we had mentioned is sharing a vision and what we want it to look like and getting a chance to go through this process. You know, I think a lot of the things that we hope to achieve, but we know that before we can become a consistent winner, we have to act like winners. And that starts with implementing a culture. So we want to set a culture, maintain a culture, and then that's going to allow us to achieve that sustained success. But the similarities in what we believed we needed to implement in this organization, creating a culture of we, not me, are the things that really excited me about the opportunity to work with Kevin and Les. And then, like I had mentioned, getting a chance to spend some time with Mr. Kroenke over the last couple days. You talk about an owner that is committed to doing all the things necessary to provide us with the resources to become that winning football team and compete for Lombardi trophies. Those were the things that excited me. And as soon as I got that offer, it didn't take long to decide, hey, let's go do this thing.
Hey, Sean, to your left. Omar Ruiz, NFL Network.
Hey, Omar.
Hey, congratulations.
Thank you.
Your rise has been pretty quick in the coaching ranks. How have you separated yourself so quickly to get on this radar and ultimately get this job?
Yeah, I think it's simple, Omar. When you really look at it, going back to some of the people that have been instrumental in my development, I think it's by being around great coaches and mentors. Those guys that were willing to invest in me, the John Grudens, Bruce Allen, Mike Shanahan, you know, Kyle Shanahan, and then being able to work for Jay over the last couple of years. That's helped accelerate my career where you certainly know, hey, you are confident, you're ready for this opportunity, but it's not about me. It's about surrounding yourself with great people on all levels of the organization and coaching staff. That's why look at some of the people that we will acquire on our staff, be veteran leaders that I can lean on and know that don't have it all figured out, but we're confident that we can navigate through the things that we'll face together.
Yeah, hey, Bill Plaschke, LA Times.
Hey, Bill.
How do you prioritize your relationship with Jared Goff, and how important is it that you get through to him and you have communication with Jared Goff for the franchise?
Well, I think it's extremely important. Going through this process, I got a chance to sit down and spend some time with Jared. I think when you look at it from just an offensive philosophy, Bill, that quarterback position is the most important position. It's the most difficult position. It's the most important position. And when you have a guy that you feel like can do the things that you're asking him to do, you've got a chance to compete week in and week out. And sitting down with Jared, you can feel his passion and the drive that he has to come back and respond in year two and be better. And I think when you look at his tape, going back to coming out of Cal, some of the things that he was able to do in his experiences that he had this past year, very encouraged, and you see a lot of good things on tape that can't wait to go to work with him. But that relationship, it's going to be very important, and I can't wait within the framework of the structure of the CBA to get to work with him and start developing that relationship that's going to be key for us moving forward.
Mark Wicker, LA Daily News. Sean, over here.
Okay.
The along with that, when you first got a hold of Cousins and started bringing him along to what he is today, how much did he kind of remind you of the things you see from Goff? And also, what was that process like? What was he like when you first began building that with him?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, getting a chance to work with Kirk, where he's our full-time starter over the last couple years, you do see a lot of similarities between here and he and Jared. But working with Kirk, a special player, all the intangibles off the charts, same thing that you see with Jared. And when you have a guy that is committed to the process and you see the abilities, which both these players do have, that's when you give yourself a chance to have success. But like what I think enabled Kirk to have some success, he truly was an extension of our coaching staff. He knew exactly what we were trying to do situationally. The week was a process, and he understood the importance of that process and the preparation to be your best on Sundays, Mondays, or Thursdays, whenever it is that we're playing. And I got a sense, I got a feel from being around Jared and the little bit of time I've spent with him, talking with Les and Kevin, this is a guy we believe in. We're encouraged and excited about developing him and working on achieving some goals together.
Hi, Phil Schumann with Fox 11 here in Los Angeles.
Phil.
You're sure you're only 30, right?
Yes, sir.
Since you're new to most people in Southern California, you talked about some of the other coaches and the team philosophy. Could you maybe describe yourself a little bit? How would you describe yourself and what you bring to the organization?
Yeah, well, I think when you look at it, a lot of these, your experience has helped shape your core beliefs and what you become. So when you talk about what we're looking for in coaches, I'd like to think that those are some of the characteristics that I embody. Teacher, leader, motivator, positive energy and enthusiasm every single day. But ultimately, it's about figuring out a way to be great communicators on all levels of our organization, everybody working in the same direction. And that's when we succeed, everybody feels a part in it. And when we don't succeed, everybody feels, I got to figure out what I can do within the framework of my role to get it fixed. And that culture of we that you'll hear us consistently talk about is what's going to allow us to achieve goals. It's not about me. It's about we and our whole entire LA Rams organization. And that's kind of what I would hope to embody and how I would hope to be described.
This question's for Kevin and Les. A lot of people were surprised by the hire just simply because of Sean's age. Did you guys have similar reservations going into this process? And if so, what kind of things did he demonstrate to you guys that made you believe that he could overcome whatever inexperience he has?
Let me start. I think anytime you're talking about, let's call it a 30-year-old, close to 31, though, that's a question
soon
you're going to answer or try to figure out. But number one is this, is, hey, he was the offensive coordinator, Washington Redskins. He called the plays. They had success there. That's a tough job. If quarterback's a tough one in the NFL, offensive coordinator's a tough one in the NFL because a lot of fans like offense and a lot of fans know they can call plays better than the offensive coordinator. But anytime you have success doing that, that means something. But I think this, you do a lot of research in this process, and you want to figure out, hey, can a 30-year-old come in and be your head coach? And we did a lot of research, but yesterday is probably when you go, yes, he can, because he's getting blown up on his phone by a lot of people. I think he said he may have had 300-plus texts, but there was a few phone calls that came in, and one of them was DeSean Jackson. You know, D'Angelo Hall reached out to him. And then there was a call from Josh Norman, defensive back, reached out to him. Not going to say whether he answered those calls because we debated whether that's tampering or not.
Good
so
point,
we'll
Les.
Keep that in-house. But at the end of the day, those men that go out on Sundays, they're the most important. And he's been able to lead those guys to success. And when he left, they reached out and thanked him for what he brought to them. So I think that answers the age question.
I think when you look at the homework over the past few weeks that we've done on Sean, and he won't say it, so I'm going to embarrass him, the terms you saw were brilliant, genius, star, John Gruden said yesterday, special. Those are amazing adjectives when you talk about describing someone. And when you ask people for the negatives, they always said, well, he's young. And I think we always looked at that as just another descriptive word. And to me, the age and this factor, when you look at what the players say, this is about leading players. And their devotion to Sean, the way they feel, what you read about him, is to us what negated the age factor. That if they could believe in Sean as a leader, and when you read the Logan Paulson quotes about walking into the room, Chris Cooley, a veteran, and saying from day one, Sean could tell us what we needed to know so we feel like we could be successful. That's where we weren't as worried about that component of where we're coming from. And it became just another bucket, whether it's, you know, offensive coordinator or defensive coordinator or first-time head coach, the age was really just part of that formula that goes into whether someone can be successful or not. And when you look at the young head coaches, it's the same mixed bag, I would say, as any other pros and cons of any other thing. If you look, there have been young coaches who have maybe had some struggles. You look at some of the names who were hired young, Don Shula, John Madden, John Gruden, Mike Tomlin, Bill Cowher, Al Davis. There are a ton of people who were hired at a young age who had tremendous success. And so for us, I think you looked at it through the lens of we knew Sean could be special. But I would say the final checkpoint for me was when Sean came back on Tuesday night and he had dinner with myself and Marshall Faulk. It was listening to him and Marshall banter back and forth about football and what they had to say and looking at each other and watching them walk away and Marshall saying, that person can absolutely be your next head coach. That it was not just about the age of the players he was with. It was about earning the respect of people who were very smart people in the NFL. And Marshall is one of the brightest players that we've ever come across, certainly in our team's history, in the NFL when you look at what he was able to accomplish. And for us, that was the final check mark of age is not a factor here. This is really about Sean's talents, his ability to lead and communicate, and what we think that will do for the Los Angeles Rams.
John, Rich Hammond with Orange County Register. Just to follow up on that maybe, or tangent, did you have to do any self-evaluation at the start of this process to ask yourself, am I ready for this? Or were you confident all along that you were ready?
Well, I think it's one of those situations where, like I had mentioned earlier, you feel very confident. You always set out to achieve this goal at some point. But this is something growing up around the game of football, with my grandfather being involved in it, you know, ever since I was growing up, you always hope to prepare and think about if those opportunities ever present themselves, will you be ready for it? You know, reading books, trying to always continuously learn and improve. And none of that occurs without being around great people. And I feel like it's those people that I've been around, those players that I've been around, that make you feel confident you are ready to navigate and take on this challenge of becoming an NFL head coach, knowing that it's about being around great people too. And there's going to be things that I will rely on both Les and Kevin to figure out what's going to be the best way to make a Rams decision. And certainly it's going to be the same thing with our coaching staff that we assemble and the players as well. So these are things that we do feel confident that we can navigate. It's going to be a great challenge. It won't be easy, but can't wait to go to work.
Sean, over here, Gary Klein from the Los Angeles Times. Will you call plays, and can you kind of describe your offensive philosophy?
Yeah, I will call the plays. You know, it's something that, like I had mentioned about what a great leader Jay was, I was fortunate to be able to do the last couple years in Washington. Love doing it. Love the schematical approach and figuring out ways to attack a defense, but also stay within the framework of what our core identity is offensively. Ultimately, what I think dictates and determines what a great coach is when you talk about forming an offensive identity, it's about first let's figure out what our players do best. And what does Jared do best? And how can we maximize Todd and Tavon and our linemen up front? And we're going to continue to get to know our players, figure out what they do best, and fit our scheme to their skill sets. Because I think when you look at great coaches, and I'm a fan of coaching. I admire great coaches in this league, whether it be in football, basketball, baseball. But that's something that you always look at because this is what you do. And those great coaches seem to have success and any stop, and they adjust to their personnel. And that's what we're going to do here in L.A., and that's why you can't wait to get around our players and figure that out, Gary.
Sean, right back here.
Where are you at?
This way.
Okay.
Hi, Steve Futterman from CBS News. I want to ask you two questions. First of all, at what point in your life did you first dream of maybe being an NFL coach? Mm-hmm. And secondly, on the youth issue, what do you think your youth maybe gives you an advantage having, and maybe where does your youth present challenges?
Well, to answer the first part of your question, I knew when I grew up playing football, finished my college career, I knew I wanted to be involved in football in some way, whether that be personnel or coaching. I didn't quite know. The opportunity presented itself to get on Coach Gruden's staff right out of college. And as soon as I got into it, the interaction that you have with the players on the grass in the meeting room, that was something that you immediately fall in love with it. So that was when you know, okay, coaching is absolutely the direction that I want to go. And then, like I had mentioned earlier, you ultimately always strive to become a head coach. You never know when that opportunity will present itself, but you want to make sure that you're preparing so when it does, you're ready to roll. As far as the youth, I think it's a great question. It's something that I've always been asked ever since I got into coaching. And I think the thing that's great about the NFL is you're dealing with men here. And what we're trying to do is help them become the best players that they can be, and we're all collectively trying to win games. And so what I always tell to people is that, you know, the way you earn these players' respect is, do you help them become a better football player? And I think most players that you talk to will be the first to tell them that. And if we have great coaches, we're putting in sound plans and our preparation is thorough, where we're helping our players improve and get better. And then we also demonstrate, hey, we care about you. All right, we're trying to develop and build relationships, that character that we talked about earlier. Those are the things that I think help with the youth, where you can make those connections, build those relationships. Got a little bit better idea of what's going on right now, and you know, how technology has changed kind of the course of the way that interaction occurs. But I think those are some benefits and some things that have really helped me connect with players, you know, since I got into coaching.
Ashley Brewer with ABC. Congratulations, Sean.
Thank you.
This one's for Lester Kevin. What was it throughout the interview process that it was about him that made you think he could motivate players and that players would fight for him when things get tough?
I think when you listen to him, and there are times when I close my eyes, I hear John Gruden, whether it's the cadence, whether it's the hand movement, I can't close your eyes, I guess. But when you listen to Sean talk about the players, and I think part of it, too, was, I would say truly, we talked about the check marks. It was his meeting with Jared, and Jared walking away and saying, that's a coach I'd love to play for, both schematically and as a person. You know, Jared talking about the Washington offense and what it did to see those receivers open and how he thought he could thrive in that scenario, but also just the interactions with Sean and how comfortable he felt. That gave us an insight into where he was. And when Aaron Donald walked away and was excited about, you know, what Sean could do in the studying, to us it wasn't about proving to us that he could work. I think every time we've sat down with Sean, you walk away more and more impressed. And I actually would say, like Les, as exciting as the interview process was, I was more impressed with Sean yesterday after he had the job, the way he was handling other coaches, the way his players responded. You saw the maturity. And to me, there's a difference. There's a difference between youth and maturity. Sean's very mature. All of these coaches are going to go through experiences for the first time as head coaches that will challenge them. It's their mental makeup and their fortitude that will determine their success. And when you listen to Sean throughout the process, quote, Bill Walsh, quote John Wooden, you get the sense that this is someone who understands how to have great success. But ultimately, it comes back to the players and getting them to be at their best. And when you do the homework, when you would talk to the players, and I give Les a lot of credit, we did a lot of outreach to current Redskins players on both sides of the ball. And that was the greatest feedback, because there is no way to predict how you're going to walk into this organization. The only way you can understand is the history in Washington. And when you see that respect that those players have, not just that they like Sean, but they respected what he brought to the table, that was really where we began to understand that the youth wouldn't be a factor.
You know, if I was echoing anything, I know Kevin mentioned earlier with the dinner with Marshall Faulk. And, hey, if you've ever been around Marshall, you respect, hey, he's a Hall of Famer for a reason. And there's a lot of God-given Mondad ability there. But when you sit down with Marshall, there's also a lot of aptitude there. And to me, that's how you become a Hall of Famer. There's a lot of people with a lot of ability. But I think Marshall had said something along the way as he was giving us wisdom, that even with a young quarterback, you might need an older coach. But after sitting and talking football with Sean, and as we all can say, you talk about energy, you want to sit and talk football with Sean, you better, you know, you're not going to eat. The dinner's going to get cold. Don't order, for sure. Just get your glass of water. But I think Marshall came back and said, you know what? And I'll paraphrase it, and he can quote, he can put his quote out later, but I think the youth, the age, actually helps him relate to the younger guys. And that's, our business is about a lot of young people. There's a lot of, if he's 30, 31, there's a lot of guys 21, 22, 23, 24 that are very important to this organization. So it's a young man's business. And then I think you go forward and see what he did with, let's take Kirk Cousins, who's gone from, you know, where he was drafted, backup quarterback, has been inactive before on game day, to probably over the last year and a half, 2 years, one of the second or third or definitely top five rated QBs, whatever quarterback, I mean, whatever rating scale you have. But those guys, there's definitely a way you motivate that man to be the best he can be. And again, I get, the phone calls yesterday speak for themselves. And the research we did before, because it's those 20, 22, 23, 24-year-old players that are, hey, were once Marshall Faulk, that are buying into what he's presenting them and his vision to want those guys to be the best. And I think that's what I got back from the players. He wants them to be the best. When he sat down and taught them, they walked out of the meeting room and knew, okay, wait a minute, we've got a plan now. He's putting us in position to be successful, and I think that's what everybody wants.
Sean, Darren Horton with KTLA. Football coaches are known to look at film. I'm curious, what's your evaluation of the Rams and your understanding of what the task at hand is?
Yeah, well, any time that you get into this, I think it's an extremely competitive league. Great players, great coaches all around, you know, amongst all 32 teams. But getting a chance to really look at our personnel, getting into it, I think you see great players in some key spots. You know, you look at an Aaron Donald, a first-team All-Pro player, and a chance to be around him. He's wired. He's all about the right stuff. You see an Alec Ogletree in the middle. And I see guys, you know, with Quinn, what he's been able to do over the course of his career, a Mark Barron. Then you look at the offensive side of the ball. You see exciting traits in Jared Goff. You see Todd Gurley. You see Tavon Austin. These guys up front, they can do some different things. Always had a lot of respect for Lance Kendricks, going back to when I studied him coming out of Wisconsin. So I see a lot of key pieces in place that give us a chance to compete. We know it's going to be a great challenge, but it's something that, as an organization, we're looking to figure out, okay, based on who's here, who are these key players moving forward that are going to help us achieve that success that we're all set out to accomplish, and then where are those areas that we can improve, whether it be through the draft or free agency that we need to address. That's going to be very important. That's why this offseason, our approach, our understanding, and making sure we're all on the same page with our personnel and what our vision is moving forward is going to be critical to our success. And again, that's why you feel so good about this opportunity to work with two great guys like this that do share that vision.
Coach, right here. Mario Solis, NBCLA.
Hey.
How are you?
Welcome. Great. Thank you.
In your opening statement, you mentioned that Stan Kroenke is committed to winning a Super Bowl. But based on how the team performed this season, and I called every single play on the radio, that would seem to be a long-term goal. How quickly can you turn this around? And you just kind of touched on that. What would be the first items to address on your agenda?
Well, the first thing that we're going to do is we're going to focus on that continuous improvement. We know that in order to achieve any goal, it's about staying one day at a time, getting better each day, and then that accumulation gives you a chance to achieve some of those goals. Anybody that tells you in this league the ultimate goal is not to win a Lombardi trophy is kidding themselves. But we know that in order to do that, it takes a process, a standard of performance, and we're going to be very committed to that. And that's a daily approach. And that's continuous improvement, being committed to excellence. What is our weekly rhythm? How do we get better? How do we continue to be great in the fundamentals and techniques that our coaches are trying to emphasize? But it's a one-day approach. We're not making any promises, but what I can promise you is we can't wait to go to work with our players, and they'll be excited about, you know, the energy, the feel of this building, and how serious we are about our football and trying to create that winning culture.
James Rojas with 790 KABC. What are your thoughts? You talked about the key players, but what are some aspects of the team do you think need an overhaul that needs to be improved? And second question, what are your thoughts on the new stadium?
Well, the new stadium is something that you look at that project, I think it's going to be what represents the premier sports complex in the entire world. What a great project. and a commitment that Mr. Kroenke's made. I think you talk about demonstrating how committed he is in the framework of what an owner can control. That's a great representation in and of itself. So that's a very exciting thing. I know it's a project that's a couple years away, but what a great project and what an exciting thing that we'll have in this city of Los Angeles. And that process will continue to be ongoing with Les, Kevin, myself, and other key members of this organization. And that's something that we certainly are striving to figure out. We haven't done that yet, but as we get settled into these roles, that is the first order of business that we're going to address right away.
Ryan Karchi, Orange County Register, back here. First for Sean, how exactly did that first opportunity to coach under Coach Gruden come about? And also for Kevin, I know you were in the front office, I believe, with Tampa Bay that year. Do you have any memories of young Sean in his position?
Do you want to go first?
No, I'll let you go first.
Okay. When you really look at it, what was your question? No, I was just kidding. When you really look at it, it's you go back and you appreciate the family connections. The Gruden family and the McVay family go way back. You look at all the connections. My grandfather and Jim Gruden Sr., they worked together, coached together at Dayton. When my grandfather was a coach there, they spent some time together in San Francisco when my grandfather was in a general manager role. And actually, a small world, Jim Gruden Sr. actually recruited my dad to the University of Indiana. So our family connections go way back, and there's a very familiar comfort level with the Gruden-McVay family connections. That opportunity on that role in a coaching assistant position opened up, and it was one that I was fortunate enough to take advantage of, and Coach Gruden gave me an opportunity to get on staff and get right into this thing.
Ryan, I'd be lying if I said when I met Sean for the first time that I think we'd be the head coach of the LA Rams here. I think the thing that stood out to you just was the passion and the energy, and obviously you expect that at 22, but it was someone who, even in the small role he had on that coaching staff, stood out to all of us in the organization, just a bright spot. And I think when you get around football teams, the young guys who come in very first and are helping out, they don't often stand out. They're part of the whole world of the organization that's 200 people deep, but everybody kept talking about just Sean's maturity, and not a ton of interaction at that time, but certainly someone that you follow as they walk through this process and these steps, and every step along the way, when people would mention Sean as a rising star, you try to harken back to those days and say, I can see that. I don't think you ever know if someone's ready to be a head coach until they spend their first day on the sidelines, but we'll find that out. But certainly the pedigree, and I think one of the things Sean's talking about, having a legacy and a family, both on the front office side and the coaching side, gives him a unique perspective to be able to come in and relate and lead an entire building as the CEO of the organization.